What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Got a good one for you today. The Warriors beat the Kings a couple days ago, Friday night. Definitely worth mentioning. It was a great game. Steph Curry is on the verge of a milestone. Boogie is back practicing again. Everyone's got something to say. Going to cover it all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? The Warriors beat the Kings Friday night. Going to talk about that. The Warriors are playing the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Going to talk about that also. Steph Curry on the verge of a milestone. Going to talk about that. Going to talk about everything. Let's start with Friday night, though. I know it was a couple nights ago, but definitely worth talking about because it was a great game. Kevin Durant took over late in the fourth to help put the Warriors over the top. But there was also some funny stuff going on. As I mentioned last week, Steph Curry made some comments in jest, I guess. That's what he says now. About the moon landing being faked. And whatever. I don't care either way what he actually thinks about the moon landing. But he did mention that he thought it was fake, which is fine. And during the player intros against the Kings, the Kings operations team or whatever, arena operations, whatever it is, played video of the moon landing, which was pretty funny. And Steph was a good sport. Steph said it was solid, gave him an A for effort. But that was the extent of some of the funnier stuff. You know, they leaned on the space moon landing stuff throughout the game. But the pregame was the main funny stuff. Good breakdown, Chuck. Anyways, back to the game. The Warriors taking on the Kings in Sacramento. The game was a lot of fun. It was, you know, the fastest paced team in the league in the Sacramento Kings. And not only fastest paced, they're just fast individually too. But the fastest paced team in the Kings and the Warriors, who pretty much revolutionized the pace and space type of play that the Kings are playing and doing damn well playing that style. De'Aaron Fox, one of the fastest, probably the fastest player in the league. Willie Cauley-Stein, the fastest center in the league. They're young, they're good, they're exciting, and it was a back-and-forth game. They just buckets at a high tempo. The Warriors led after that first quarter, 42-38. That's right, 42-38, 80 points scored in the first quarter. KD came out pretty hot. Steph had a fine game for him, not his best. That's the thing. They go up against their own greatness. So the fact that Steph goes 11-23, 5-14 from three, not his best. 7 rebounds and 6 assists, though, is solid for him. So, yeah, wasn't fantastic, especially towards the end of the game. He had a solid first couple quarters, but towards the end when KD took over, Steph was not his best, I guess you could say. But whatever. So first half, first quarter, Warriors 42-38. They pull away in the second quarter. They end the first half leading 76-64. So they're up 12 at the half. And in the third, solid. Here's the thing with the Kings in this whole game. They did not allow the Warriors to pull away. Warriors get up 16 at a certain point in the first half. And I'm kind of thinking, at least, okay, they're going to wrap this thing up and it'll be fine. And, you know, 20-point, 25-point lead. Anytime it got to 15, 16, the Kings were able to battle back to get it to single digits. So the Warriors were never really able to fully pull away. Obviously, because of how the game ended. But credit the Kings for that. They were not just not allowing the Warriors to get on one of their major runs. They got on some mini runs, but then the Kings would answer back. Kings were hitting threes, or excuse me, Dubs were hitting threes. Kings were not in the first half. That's definitely what helped them get to that 12-point lead. Not a lot of defense being played on either end. The Kings are not defensively stout. They kind of remind me of, I don't want to say that early Mark Jackson team. They kind of some Nelly teams where they played with pace and would get buckets, but just no defense would be played. Klay had a solid start, ended the game fine. At a certain point, it looked like this was going to be the first game in their 3 years playing together that Steph, Klay, and KD would all score 30. Because at the end of the half, KD had 18, Steph had 17, Klay had 16. It didn't work out that way, but obviously, great game, blah, blah, blah. But it slowed down a little bit, and especially in the late third, early fourth, the Kings were able to battle back. Steph Curry did put up 12 in the third. Solid quarter for him. But the Kings actually won that quarter by six. So they cut the lead down to six heading into the fourth. And to start the fourth, man, the Kings went on a run. They got hot. There was some terrible lineups that Kerr would run out there. And it's not Kerr's fault, so to speak. There was, with Andre and Sean out, he had to go with certain lineups that just got their asses kicked, really. Like, really got their asses kicked. Quinn Cook struggled. He's had a rough go of it lately. I'm sure he'll bounce back. It's tough when you get random minutes here and there, but that's his role, and he's going to have to adjust. And speaking of adjusting, there were six illegal screens called, I believe, in this game, going against the Warriors. Steph and Kerr talked about it, and I'm going to play that for you in a little bit. And I probably agree with them. I don't think they were all proper fouls. But the bottom line is, that's what's getting called. You have to adjust. Warriors had better energy to start the second half. Draymond was all over the place. But still, the Kings, they're young and fast. And they're going to run and continue to run. And that's exactly what they did. Dubs got their asses kicked in non-Steph KD minutes. So it wasn't even just the fact that he put out some random lineups. It was even with Klay and Draymond out there. It just wasn't working. The Kings started the fourth on a 15-2 run. Warriors were down 10 with about 6 minutes to go, I'd say. Curry, KD come back in, and they're hunting threes, which did not work. They weren't knocking them down. And with about 3 minutes left in the game, I think it was 3:08 exactly, KD starts driving to the hoop, starts getting to the line, gets a couple and ones, couple jumpers. Klay knocks down the shot or two. Warriors go on a 17-2 run in the final 3 minutes and 8 seconds to pull out the 130-125 win. Klay knocked down a big three with about a minute left to go up 126-125. And that's it. I mean, the rest is history. Kings are a good, solid team. They're fun to watch. I hope this is the start of a Kings-Warriors rivalry. There's a lot of respect there right now. I think a playoff series would help kind of push it into rivalry territory. But right now, the Kings are a solid team. And I would love to see a playoff series between these two teams because it'd be a lot of fun. Got some post-game sound I want to play for you guys from Steve Kerr, Draymond, Steph. I'm going to do that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's happening? Just finished talking about the Dubs beating the Kings. What else is new? The Kings have won a couple games against the Warriors, though, the last couple years. Since 2017, they have 3 wins against the Warriors in 9 games. So, I mean, it's still not great, but they've been able to get W's against the Warriors. And they played them tough this year. I mean, two games that went down to the wire. Steve Kerr was asked about the game and just the near collapse and kind of frantic comeback from the Warriors. I mean, how crazy is it? There was a 15-2 run for the Kings in the fourth and then a 17-2 run by the Warriors in the fourth. It's a pretty weird quarter. Steve Kerr was asked about the potential collapse and the comeback that the Warriors made against the Kings.
What got them back in it and what got you guys kind of out of it?
Well, high energy. They were pushing the ball and the crowd was in it. We had, I believe, six turnovers on illegal screens in the third quarter, second half. Four in the third quarter, I believe. I'll have to see them on tape. I don't know if they were all legit. But you know, at half we had six turnovers and we're rolling along. And then all the turnovers just killed us. Second half, 12 turnovers. A couple times where we just left our feet and threw one-handed passes out of bounds and a lot of illegal screens. A couple of plays where we tried to clear the defender. And they called one on Jonas, one on Zoe for offensive fouls. But we were able to withstand all that and come away with the win.
What did get you out of it? Like, what was the key in that 17-2 run? There?
Well, I thought it was, even before the run started, they were missing. You know, we were defending pretty well. I don't know what they shot over the final 6 minutes. It wasn't good. And so even before the comeback began, they were missing a lot of shots. We knew we could get back in it if we were just poised and a little more patient offensively. And I thought Kevin's three-point play was huge when he went to the rim. And Clay hit a big shot. But we finally took care of the ball and executed.
So there's Steve. He mentioned the turnovers, the offensive fouls, the 12 turnovers in the second half. It's something the Warriors have to clean up. I know there's going to be some with how much they move the ball, but there's some avoidable ones that they just haven't been avoiding the last handful of games, and they can do better on that front. Steve also mentioned the defense and the Kings missing shots, and he gave the defense a lot of credit. He also praised Draymond Green highly, as he does. And as Draymond deserves because of his defensive prowess. But here's what he had to say about Draymond specifically and the defense that he played late in the fourth.
Yeah, he was great. You know, I took him out with about 7.5 minutes left. He didn't want to come out, but I knew I wasn't going to play him the whole quarter. It was probably good for him to get a couple minutes rest and regroup a little bit. And I thought his defense was fantastic. He committed a great foul on Fox when we only had 3 team fouls. And fouled Fox pretty hard on the drive down the lane, which probably sounds funny, committing a great foul, but Draymond knew exactly what he was doing, and then we got a stop on the ensuing possession, so he used the foul wisely. But that's what Draymond does. He understands the game, he defends, he makes big plays at that end.
That's Steve Kerr on Draymond and his play towards the end of the game and how he was able to help shut down the Kings late in the fourth. And I remember the play Steve's talking about. Initially, you're just, another foul. But he's right. He shut down a basically open lane for De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, guys, Fox is for real. Anyways, Draymond played great. The defense is at a different level when he's in, as we all know. Here's what Draymond had to say about his late game performance and how it helped the Warriors overcome this young Kings team.
They were getting like drives to the basket, wide open threes, started at fourth quarter. We shut that down the end of the fourth. It didn't help that De'Aaron Fox left the game for three minutes or something like that either. I mean, it helped us. It didn't quite help them.
There's Draymond mentioning that it did not help the Kings that De'Aaron Fox went out, helped the Warriors. And that's one other thing I wanted to mention. De'Aaron Fox is for real, you guys. The kid is legit. I don't know if he's the next superstar or anything like that, but he's definitely going to be a solid player for the Kings for the next decade plus. He is the fastest player in the NBA, now that he's knocking down threes, his game is more wide open than it's ever been. I know he's only been in the league, you know, a year and a quarter, basically. But his progress from year one to year two has been huge, and the league's taken notice. And when Draymond notices something like that, that's when you kind of know that it's a real thing, because Draymond, he doesn't sugarcoat stuff. He's not going to give someone credit who doesn't deserve it. He's kind of stubborn with his praise. So to give it to a young kid like that is not something that Draymond normally does. And when he does, it means that the kid is legit, and that kid is De'Aaron Fox. One last thing I want to play for you guys. Steph was asked about just the game overall, but also the trolling at the beginning of the game. Here's what Steph had to say on a couple different matters.
The video pregame of that caught me off guard. That was solid. That was solid. A for effort, for sure.
with that many whistles blowing, a lot of them on offensive fouls, it's hard to get a flow of rhythm with that kind of stoppage going.
Yeah, and the way, you know, they were making shots in the second half, they had like six offensive fouls. I don't know what happened on all six.
A lot of illegal screens.
I'm assuming all six of them weren't clear offensive fouls. It happens like that sometimes. You gotta weather the storm.
So there's Steph. Gives credit for the trolling. Questions the offensive fouls. Happy with the win. Why wouldn't you be? It was a tough win. They had to come back. It was harder than I thought it would be. I thought they had lost it, basically, until they went on that 17-2 run, because they were down 10. So, Warriors taking on the Grizz tonight. Going to talk about that a little bit. A few other things I got to throw out there. Jacob Evans played a game in Santa Cruz. Steph Curry is on the verge of a major milestone. DeMarcus Cousins practiced with Santa Cruz again. Going to talk about all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Real quick, Warriors taking on the Grizz tonight. That's all I got. That's my preview. No, Marc Gasol, look, we don't have a big body center. The Warriors do not have a big body center, especially with Damian Jones out. Regardless of how you feel about his play, how good he is, etc., he at the very least was a big body they could throw out there, and now they don't have one, at least until Boogie comes back. So will Marc Gasol take advantage of Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell and Jonas Jerebko? We'll see. It's possible. Probably likely. How many minutes will Draymond get it center? Who knows? He's still working his way back conditioning-wise. And he mentioned also in post-game with the Kings broadcast that, you know, the toe might linger for the rest of the season. But he's about as good as he's going to be. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle Marc Gasol. Can the Grizz play their tempo as opposed to trying to deal with the Warriors at their tempo? That's always the question. So it'll be a good one. And also, I mean, I wonder how the Grizz are internally, I guess, when they just tried to trade for Kelly Oubre, just tried to trade whoever you believe, whether you believe it was either Dylan Brooks or Marshawn Brooks, but they just tried to make a move that did not happen. So I don't know. Is there animosity, I guess, in turmoil in their locker room? If there is, how big is it? Or is there nothing and it's all good and, you know, it's just the Grizz, grit and grind. So we'll see. Should be a good one. I think it's on NBA TV tonight, so everyone check that out. As far as first-round pick Jacob Evans is concerned, he played a game with the Santa Cruz Warriors on Friday, coming off the bench for them as they took on the Erie BayHawks. Of course, it was the BayHawks. He had an okay game. He went 6-16 from the field, 14 points, 2-4 from three. It's fine. I guess it's encouraging. It's better than his first appearance down there where I think he went 2-10 and was not very good. The 2-of-4 from three is the most encouraging part, because if he can just come in and defend and knock down threes, that's all the Warriors need. That's all they need. They don't need you to be the next Andre Iguodala or the next Steph or anything like that. Can you be a serviceable role player? And that role is 3-and-D. I think he's already a solid defender, obviously can continue to work on that. But can you knock down threes at a respectable rate? I'm talking 35%. Hasn't shown the ability yet. But going 2-for-4 in this latest G League game, it's a good start for him. It's better than it has been at the very least. So happy with that. Another note from that game, though, is Marcus Derrickson, the two-way player for the Warriors, had 27 points, was 12 of 17 from the field. And the intriguing part of that is he went 0 of 2 from 3. I've mentioned that he's a knockdown three-point shooter, and he is, but it just shows that he was able to get it done in other ways than from the three. He also had 13 rebounds and 4 assists, 1 block, 2 steals. So a nice game from the two-way guy, who I have mentioned many times that I'm very high on. So good for those two. DeMarcus Cousins practiced with the Santa Cruz Warriors again. Hearing mixed results. Some have said he looks good, and maybe that's just, oh, well, he's back moving around playing basketball, so that's a good thing. Others have said, eh. And here's the deal. If he's not conditioned, if he's a little stiff, a little rusty, all that stuff that just comes with not playing basketball for, you know, 10 months, 11 months, however long it's been, that's fine. That's understandable. The thing is if it's still problems with the Achilles, if there's some sort of setback there, that's the problem. And there isn't, by the way, there isn't. I'm not saying that there is. I'm just pointing out the differences between, yeah, if he's rusty and not conditioned and stuff like that, well, that's expected because he hasn't been playing basketball for 10, 11 months. If there's something wrong with the leg, that's when you worry. That's when it's a problem. As I mentioned, Steph is approaching a milestone that he should reach tonight. He is 10 points away from reaching 15,000 points. He is obviously expected to hit that milestone tonight. He better, since we all expect it. It's only 10 points. We will see. Steph was asked about it earlier today. Here's what he had to say, and a nice memory about his father the day Dell hit 10,000 points. Here's what Steph had to say on those topics.
Part of the appreciation of it in terms of longevity and trying to be at, you know, at the highest level of what you can do on the floor consistently. I remember my dad bringing home his 10,000 point basketball when he was playing for Charlotte. That was like year 13 for him, I think 14, something like that. And just that was like my first kind of realization of how, you know, hard it is to sustain yourself in the NBA and kind of measure yourself against guys that can put the ball in the basket, you know, routinely. But yeah, it's just, again, a milestone that's definitely be appreciative and a reminder to keep doing what I'm doing.
Do you know where that ball is now?
Oh, it's in Charlotte, yeah, it's at his house.
Like framed? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a milestone.
It's pretty. I actually saw it when I went back home this summer. It's got a nice little trophy room. A lot of different memories. You got a 6-man award in there, and that 10,000 point basketball. They even kept some of my stuff.
Did you save
to the ranks?
Did you save your 10K?
Say what?
Did you save your 10K?
I didn't
10K?
Actually.
You save any?
I save a lot of stuff, mostly from the championship runs, and I think I got the old 3-point record. until this year. Stuff that when I'm done playing, I'll do something with. Pretty special.
Will there be a point total that, I mean, like Katie hit, I think, 20K last year, and that was a pretty big deal. Will there be a point total that you think you'll savor and maybe keep that basketball?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you. Maybe the message is to keep the one tonight, and I appreciate if I get, you know, obviously get there, but appreciate what I'm able to accomplish and a good reminder of me kind of exceeding my imagination in terms of what I could accomplish in this league. Yes.
So there is Steph on the reachable milestone tonight, milestone he'll most likely attain this evening. Steph, my opinion, keep the ball. Keep the ball. And it's nice that it's going to happen, potentially happen at Oracle. We'll see if there's any little acknowledgement of it or anything like that. It's a nice milestone. Nice milestone for Steph and his family. And, yeah, good for him. league pass picks before we go. Obviously, Warriors-Grizzlies, that's a good game. I would definitely suggest everyone watch that, even though I know you're going to. There's a solid slate tonight. Sixers-Spurs, Blazers-Clippers, Bulls-Thunder, I'm just kidding. Kings-T-Wolves, Jazz-Rockets, and you could even throw Bucks-Pistons in there. That one might be a little bit of a reach, but two playoff teams, potentially, at the very least. So I'll go with Sixers-Spurs and, you know what, Kings-T-Wolves. The Kings beat the T-Wolves, what, 141-130 last week? You know, that's a buttload of points. T-Wolves were not able to slow them down. We'll see if they have anything for them, or do the Kings have the T-Wolves number? Thank you guys so much for listening. Check all those games out, and check me out again tomorrow when I do another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.